Okay. All right, Wednesday, 10/9/24. A Return to Honor Part 2. We're just going to do just a little recap, just a little bit, since it's been a couple of weeks. All right, respect and authority. We're going to look at 1 Timothy 2. It's going to be 1 through 5. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So, we are told that we're to pray for our leaders. So, you know, if we're going to pray for them, it's going to be hard for us to bash them, isn't it? What does that do? When you pray for somebody, it's like, doesn't it release love? I think it does. I think that's the reason that the Lord put it that way, so that if we stay in our love walk, then the devil can't get in. All right, we're going to look in the Strong's. It's supplication is a petition. Prayers mean worship. Giving of thanks and intercessions, like it says, an interview. And then thanksgiving means gratitude, grateful language to God as in worship. In other words, we're thanking God for our leaders. Like them or not, Republican, Democrat, whatever they may be. All right, thanksgiving changes our attitude no matter our situation. Think about Paul and Silas in the jail. Their backs were beaten and bleeding. The authorities had beat them up. They didn't do anything but heal somebody. And what happened? Paul didn't even pull out the Roman card. He could have. But they gave thanks and praise to God. And God delivered them out. But they still got beat up. They could have trashed and bashed. If they had it, they could have maybe died instead of been let go. Set free. All right, thanksgiving changes our attitude no matter the situation. Okay. Scripture tells us to give thanks for a reason. We are not supposed to bless the good ones and curse the bad ones. I think a lot of people just think that means like government leaders, but no, it's church leaders too. We are to bless the good and the bad authority that God has placed over us, and thanksgiving helps us to do that. Keeps our attitude right, because as the body of Christ, it says, you'll know the love, you know, by our love. They'll know us by our love, who we are of. And if we're in the bash brothers, then I guess they'll think, well, they must be of that other camp. Because I'll tell you what, that's all the left does is trash and bash. That's their middle name. I don't want to be associated with them, do you? No way. All right. Gratitude, this word gratitude, means grateful language to God as in worship. Like, let's just use Chuck Schumer, for instance. Lord, we play you bless old Chucky. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, there's something happened to God him, get him to that place where he is. And his only hope is God. I mean, that's all of our only hope is God. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians here. This is 4:15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Yeah. Philippians 4, which we know this is a gauge that we're to always be thinking the right thoughts, regardless of who it is. There has to be something we can find that's good, right, to speak. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. It says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything. It didn't say for everything. It said in everything, give thanks. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, what does this do? Thinking on a good thing. Find one good thing. Well, like a suit. Think on something good to keep you in the love avenue instead of getting on the wrong side of things. We can't help anybody or do anything if we're on the wrong side. And if we're out of our love walk, we're on the wrong side. All right, Colossians 2. Six. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Sounds like the fake news, doesn't it? Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So if we want that, all that power in us to come out of us, we're going to have to stay on the right side of things. Love keeps the door open. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Right here, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Boy, we don't need any hindrances, do we? Something was happening to cause there to be a hindrance. You don't have to like the leader, but giving thanks for them according to Scripture will keep the doors open to accomplish God's will. He's the one that opens doors that no man can shut. Shuts doors no man can open. But I'll tell you what, there were times, you know, Paul couldn't go places just simply because the devil prevented them from going in for whatever reason. If we criticize, we become the judge, and there is only one judge, and that is God. That goes with anybody, period. All right, Psalms 9, 8. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And you just probably would be better if you can't say something, kind of like moms usually say, if you can't say something nice, just don't say anything at all. You'd be better off. Psalms 9:8. I remember Brother Hagin talking about a man in his 80s, still had all his original teeth, never was sick. And there was a town drunk that had passed away, and everybody at the funeral, you know, trashing, bashing. This man said he sure had pretty eyes. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. God is the judge, and he will judge. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us. Yeah. All right. You don't have to like them, but the Lord requires you to keep the proper respect. Okay. Let's keep going here. Revelation 20:12. Well, let's do 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And it said, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. So everything's recorded. I forget what, it's an Old Testament book where it talks about the book of remembrance, where those that sit around and talk about the Lord, that the angel records what they say. Well, kind of sounds like to me, they record everything you say anyway. They're better than the NSA, I'll tell you for sure. They think they know everything. They ain't seen anything compared to God's angels, and they're recording what's said. No one's getting away with anything. We need to walk humbly before our God. He will judge those that need to be judged, but thank God we won't be judged for our sins, for Jesus took them on himself. He took them on himself. He became sin for us, and God does not want to judge, and he is not willing that any should perish. That's why it's long-suffering. That's why it takes long in doing things. He wants to give men every opportunity to repent so they won't have to be judged for their sins, because Jesus already paid for all of them. I don't care how sorry they are and what they've done. Jesus already paid for that, what they did. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, when I have, when the devil tries to bring something up to me, something that I've already been forgiven for, I just say, forgiven, forgiven, done, over. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that also indicates to me that Jesus a lot of times would say, your sins be forgiven, you rise up and walk, or whatever the occasion might be. So when you don't have sin, the devil has no right to put sickness on you. Our attitude of gratitude keeps the doors open to take the gospel in. Isn't that the goal, to take the gospel in? So Satan does not hinder us, because love never fails. You release love, you've released God. Okay, our criticism opens the door for the enemy to come in and mess things up. Sabotage, put up obstacles, all kinds of things. All right, did I read? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I thought I read that, but maybe I didn't. Well, I just read that. Duh. Okay. All right, and we'll read a few more scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Oh, I already read that to you, sorry. Hebrews 10. 10:30 and 31. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So God wants us to leave the judgment up to him, right? Not to judge one another or judge anybody. All right, Romans 2, 16. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's going to judge it. Nobody's going to get away with anything. We have a petition that we pray over our leaders every day. Here are those scriptures. We're going to look at those again. This is Psalm 75. as if God needs our input. He does not. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Proverbs 21, 1. The king's heart is at the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Just think about it. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Now, God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. But what did he do? He went into Jerusalem and he took everything. And anyone that would comply, he gave them mercy. If they wouldn't, he killed them. He gave that to Nebuchadnezzar. And what happened later? He judged him. And he became a believer after what he went through. God took care of it. Psalm 7. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it. It is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. All right, let me read you this. If we want God to honor this petition, then we are going to have to act like we believe that he is on the job and stop playing judge advocate. If we really believe what we speak, it should be easy for us to give thanks for all that are in authority. When we remain respectful of God's placed authority, then the doors of love stay wide open. When you walk in love, you walk in God. Hate speech is unbecoming of a Christian. Don't listen to them. And you don't want their critical spirit jumping on you, because that's what it does. It provokes you to pick that up and to begin to speak what they speak. Respect for authority is not just respect for a person. It is bigger than that. I used to have very low self-esteem as a minister because of my lack of experience, and Christians took advantage of that. But God defended me, and it did not go well with them. It's bigger than just a person. When someone stands against God, placed authority, they stand against God himself, whether they be evil or good. A lot of people criticize President Trump. Like I said, they didn't need a preacher in the White House. They needed a general, and that's what they got. And he doesn't do everything right. And I'm telling you, lots of Christians trash and bash him. And that is so wrong. He's saving their lives. He does not bear the sword for nothing. He acknowledges Jesus Christ. I've seen him do it on several occasions. He says, it's not me, it's him, it's Jesus Christ. He calls him by name. All right. God will handle the leader if he needs to. All right, we're going to go to Acts. This is Acts chapter 12. Loose lips sink ships. We don't want to sink our own ships, do we? No, we don't. All right, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Why would you need 16 soldiers guarding one man? Because they kind of disappear. Yeah, they had seen God do that on some occasions, you know. And then they got put to death if the prisoner escaped. Yeah. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And he did, and so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Hey, there's their power right there. It sent an angel to deliver him. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. You'd think it'd be easier to believe it was Peter than it was an angel, right? But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. When Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down to Judea, to Caesarea, and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, It is a voice of God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. That's judgment right there. They did what they were supposed to do. They sent the angel through praying in the spirit. They dispatched an angel to get Peter out of jail. They didn't come against the establishment. Get us an attorney or whatever the heck. Like people would do today. You know what? If Christians would handle their stuff in the Spirit, we'd see a lot more of this. 1 Timothy 5. Let the elders rule well. Be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. I'll tell you, when we were going to a little assembly of God here many years ago, back when we were, I think we had Dana, she is a baby, people were griping because that little preacher bought his child an ice cream cone. Using the church's money to buy that ice cream cone. That's how petty. That's how petty. I'm thinking, when you get your paycheck, don't you do with it what you... Yeah. Why is it different whenever you're a minister? Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. It's not even their place to even make a judgment. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee, behold, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. In other words, there's elders in the church to handle situations with other elders. I mean, I've known too many people that have done things like that, and it didn't go well. It never goes well. Taking it into their own hands. We've been in some awful church messes. We've heard some people say some horrible things. Whether the minister was wrong or not, what they did and what they said was wrong. So, and then they want God to intervene in their life, help them. No can do. No can do. So I'll just give you this today, you know, with this election season coming up and all the junk and everything going on, we need to just really realize, and I think most of ours, it's just a big show anyway, but it can get you riled up. We need to stay in a love walk. We need to ask the Lord, you know, pray. Ask the Lord, you know, what's going on. See what He says to you. Keep our hearts right. All right? Okay.